Father, in the name of Jesus, we give you, Lord, praise and give you glory. We thank you. We honor you, glorify you. And we say, blessed be the name of the Lord. And as always, Lord, we declare that the entrance in of your word brings light, gives understanding. God be the glory. So let it be in Jesus' name. Quicken us, O Lord, according to thy word. Renew the arise spirit within us, Lord, concerning the mind of Christ, even at this time. To God be the glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, this is a part of the series that we've been doing on, you know, the lessons so far about, we talked about the quick awakening. You know, lately we've been talking about awakening, returning to God, you know, pursuing his presence, engaging in a life of prayer, and so forth, releasing our faith. We've been talking about that. And we've also been talking about, revival in a way. We talked about revival, what the Lord has been doing, you know, what the Lord's been doing before, what he's doing now, and what we believe that the Lord will do. Ingredients for true revival. Cover that. This is a continuation of the series in a way. We're going to be talking about looking at revival and evangelism together. And then we'll be looking at the personal evangelism, soul winning, and different things like that on this topic. Praise the Lord. So I'm sure many of you will be excited to participate. We pray that that will be the case. Amen. Today I want to talk about revival and evangelism. I'm calling them the two fires of the church. You know, as a fire that God is lighting in us through revival. There's a fire also, you know, that God is moving through us for evangelism. Revival and evangelism, we saw, the birth of the church in the New Testament, but we saw them also going out evangelizing and doing great things and the Lord moving in their midst. Today, talking about revival. Here are some of the points that we've brought up before that will remind us, because we want to connect this with evangelism. Revival is not just an emotional moment. It's not just an event. It's not even a conference. It's not an emotional hype. What is revival really? You know, we've talked about revival in terms of God bringing back something that once was there, but has either drifted away, dried up, or even died. You know, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17 is a powerful illustration of how God is calling us, you know, to awake. You know, awake, thou that sleepest, he said, arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light. So we see how slumber, spiritual slumber, can even lead to spiritual deadness. First he said, awake from slumber. Then he said, arise from the dead. So, if we're not careful, you know, a little slumber actually leads to death, you know. So why must we awake? Why? Well, it means because we are sleeping, you know. That's why. So we must awake. Let me read it to you in Ephesians 5 and verse 14. I might have said 17, but I meant 14. You know, Ephesians 5:14. It says, wherefore, to those who are asleep, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See, he said, that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are not, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be being filled with the Spirit. Praise the Lord. I had to call, to awake from sleep. You know, Jesus told this parable in Matthew 25. He said, the kingdom of God is like unto, there were 10 virgins. They all knew, they kind of had a mission. They went out to meet the bridegroom, he said. But he characterized them into two divisions. Those that were wise, they carried their lamps, but they also prepared extra oil. The other group, half of the group, were not so wise. They were not prudent. They didn't plan properly. They had the lamps with them, but they didn't have the foresight to realize that the journey might be long, or the wait might be long, and the oil that's in the lamp might run out, and they didn't take the extra reservoir. So as the story went, while this bridegroom tarried, I told that they all slumbered and slept. All of them. sometimes slumber comes upon people. Even people who mean well. It's a slumber. There is a lull that happens in the things of God sometimes. Excitement. When anytime something new is happening, it's tremendous excitement. And then after a while, it's just a lull and everything begins to drag and so forth. I've seen it all the time, all the time. If a new fellowship opens and so forth, a new church or whatever, people are so excited, get involved with it, And then after a while, people begin to drag their feet. It happens in all areas of life. When you are starting a new thing, get so excited about it. After a while, it just becomes routine and so on. Well, that routine is what leads to the slumber. And if that slumber is not dealt with, is going to lead to spiritual deadness. So God's been talking to us about awakening from slumber. 1 Corinthians 15:34 also says, awake to righteousness. Awake to righteousness. 1 Corinthians 15 and 34. And sin not. Some people, he said, have not the knowledge of God. Well, I'd say they had the knowledge of God, but some people retain not the knowledge of God in their hearts and allow the things of the world to choke out the excitement that once was there, which is why Jesus said, you must return to your first love. God is awakening us to that. And so God wants to breathe life back into the church where we have drifted, where we may even have dried up or died. We know that there is hope of a tree. Glory to God. According to Job, chapter 14, verses 7 through 9. a tree that may be dried up, even at the root, it can still come back to life. Glory to God. You know, if it be cut down, let's hope that it will sprout again. Let's hope that the tender branches, you know, will come back alive again. Even though the root is waxing old in the earth and the stock thereof is dying in the ground, well, yet through the scent of water, it will bud and bring forth boughs again, you know. And the Lord always wants us to pay attention so that we don't, the things, you know, that remain. Jesus said to them in Revelation 3 and verse 2, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. You know, not only you were some things dead already, but there were also some things that remained that were also dying or about to die. And Jesus will call these things out. And that's the need for revival. You know. Now, this church in Sardis, the Lord said, look, you know, it looks like you got something going, but really, you have nothing going. He said, I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest, but you are dead. Now, this deadness is what we are addressing in this series about revival. Dead or not producing. And sometimes it may not be dead, but it's not producing. This church in Sardis, on the outside, appeared that they had a name. You know, maybe they were a renowned church, well known. Perhaps they met in a fancy building, or people knew them, and so forth. You know, and the name, you mentioned the name, everything, they're known. You just say, hey, you know, I belong to that church, or whatever. Everybody knows it. But looking with the spiritual lenses into that church, looking with the eye of the Spirit, the Lord said, no, you have a name, but you're actually dead. You know, so it reminds me, and every time I read this, it reminds me of the story of the fig tree, you know, in Mark 11. Fig tree that Jesus saw, you know, he said, you know, in Mark 11 and verse 12, on a certain day, they were going from Bethany to a place, and Jesus was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves. See, so that fig tree had leaves. It was green, you know. When you're looking at that fig tree, clusters of leaves and everything like that, you couldn't really tell from afar off that it didn't have any fruit because it had leaves, you know. And it looked like it had something going from afar off. But when it came near, without finding anything on it, he came near to it, he found nothing but those leaves. You know, he didn't find any fruit. And then he said, wow. But in the defense of the tree, the writer of the gospel here says, well, it wasn't really time for figs yet. It was a fig tree. And then, you know, the figs thing was seasonal. It wasn't the season of fig tree yet. You know, I mean, figs yet. It was still the season of, you know, blossoming with leaves and different things like that. But when Jesus came and looked from afar off, it looked like this tree had something going. It came closer, found nothing. He said, well, you are done because you did not produce. But why? I mean, didn't Jesus know that it wasn't the time of figs yet? I mean, you didn't know that? I mean, how can the tree be producing when it's not yet time for figs? But this is a great lesson with God as far as producing. You know, he wants us to do that in season and out of season. There should be no season where we are not producing. Actually, you know, if this tree from afar off had looked dried, I mean, the leaves were withered, the branches were, you know, bent over, or some of them falling and were dried up, you know, Jesus would have already, you know, known that there is no fruit. But the tree had appearances, see, appearances, with the green leaves and everything, it will look like, you know, it's got something going. If it were dry, it'd be dry already. But if it had appearance, you know, and then Jesus looked closer and found nothing. So, this is what he's saying to the church in Sardis here. You guys have the appearance that you got something going on the outside. But really, Jesus said, but you are dead. Huh. And then he called out, he said, look, you know, you better take a look and take heed, watchful, and strengthen the things which remain. Something's already dead, but strengthen the things which remain that are also ready to die. Yeah, because I have not found your works perfect before God. You know, therefore, he say, remember now how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. See, now, this was, you know, at one time they were excited. You know, they had heard some things and they were doing well at first. But now, you know, they've allowed some things to slip. They say, well, you better repent. And if you don't repent, if you don't watch. Now, watchfulness here is another thing that he's talking about. Watchfulness. Be watchful. Because if you are not watchful and you don't have your senses, things will creep in that will sap, you know, that fire. I mean, kill that fire, sap that joy, sap that anointing. And then that's when we need reawakening. We need reawakening. And that's what revival does. So reawaken us. You know, as we've said before, revival always begins with God. And, you know, revival in comparison to evangelism, that's what I want to talk about in this series. Revival is God, you know, moving again in his people. On the other hand, evangelism is the people that are revived, God's people that are revived, allowing God to move through them. So God in revival moves in us, bring up things that were dead. And in evangelism, when we are revived, God is moving through us, you know, to reach the rest of the world. Now, revival, as we have said before, is not just something that we invent. It's a divine visitation. God said it's time. And God is saying, look, you know, it's not over yet, you know, and he wants to do something with us and in us. But he must revive us first. See, we can't give what we don't have. So first we got to get that fire back if we've lost it. You know, so I love this scripture in Isaiah 45 and verse 8. You can see how heaven and earth are walking together. When heaven, you know, things always start with, you know, everything starts from heaven. You know, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Wasn't the other way around. Wasn't the earth and heaven. Yeah. It was the heaven and then the earth. You know, so things always start from heaven. When God says it is time, well, he begins to stir something upon the earth. You know, and in Isaiah 45 verse 8, we see the same thing. Heaven and earth must walk together, you know, but it begins first with heaven, a response from the earth, and then in turn, another response from heaven. You know, so, and it says, you know, drop down, you know, it starts with heaven. And I want to say that for many things that heaven is doing right now, or what's happening in heaven, the target is the earth. People in the earth are always trying to go to heaven, but the people in heaven, they're always wanting some action to be done on earth. That's the way it is. You know, it's a strange paradox that we are here, we're always trying to get into heaven, but heaven is wanting, you know, to come down and get some things happening upon the earth. Drop down, ye heavens, from above. See, that's how it starts. That's an unction from heaven. It starts there. Let his skies pour down righteousness and say, awake to righteousness. That comes from heaven. Now, the earth, though, must respond. The response of the earth is it opens up, yields. You have to yield to that unction and that prompting of the Holy Spirit when it's trying to pour out revival. We must yield. Now, this combined walk of heaven saying it is time, coming down to you, inspire something there. Heavens are dropping down, bringing righteousness, bringing a call back to, you know, the fire of God in our hearts. Yeah, heaven inspires that. We respond. Then something happens. This conjunction of heaven and earth is what brings forth salvation. Salvation is not for heaven. It's for the earth. You know, so all of these activity that heaven is trying to get going and how the earth must respond is to bring forth salvation upon the earth. You know, and the righteousness, you know, it's always already righteousness in heaven. The scepter of thy throne is a scepter of righteousness. It's all already righteous there. This righteousness that they want to bring to come to pass is targeted for the earth. You know, so, and the Lord said, I, the Lord, have created it. This whole thing is from the Lord. And that's how it works. Powerful verse, this thing. You know, so, you know, God is the one that's inspiring it. But we must respond to it. Our response is when God says it's time, we begin to cry. We've been talking about that. We begin to request, say, Lord, do something new in my life. You know, I'm a man of unclean lips. Do something about it. And then the seraphim did something about it, you know, from God. And then it must be well received. Must be well received. The earth must open up and receive it. Praise God. We've talked about revival, you know, that requires repentance and all the ingredients that we just talked about in the series we've just been talking about. You know, humility must be there. The revival cannot start where there is still pride. So revival will start when, you know, pride begins to be put away. You know, revival also will begin when prayer begins to be the order of the day. When prayer arises, revival falls. You know, revival also will take, it will like begin to run in leaps and bounds when sin is put away. Say, thou shalt put away sin from thy tabernacle. when we do that, then something begins to happen. Revival will restore that spiritual fire. Now, I want to talk about these two fires today. Revival is a fire. Evangelism is a fire. You know, these two things are, you know, live stream of the church, fueled by all the things we've been talking about. But the movement is from the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit will, inspire revival, which we must eventually generate and produce evangelism. You know, that's the whole point. You can talk about evangelism all you want. Until the people experience revival, they will not be motivated into evangelism. Now, on an individual basis, you find some people who are fired up for evangelism. You know, it's like in the orchard, right? The guy, the husbandman who planted the field in the orchard, he's looking for fruit, you know, but they're not all going to ripen at the same time. So when the early fruit begins to come, he's got a basket in his hand and walks through the orchard and picks a little one here, one there, one here, one there, because they don't ripen all at the same time. Some people that are already fired up, they're like the early fruit, you know. But, you know, the man who's picking that fruit from his orchard, he's not satisfied with the early fruit. You know, he wants the full harvest. And so he has, you know, the Bible says he has long patience for it. Husbandman has long patience for the harvest, waiting for it. Along the way, he'll get one fruit here, one fruit there. But when they begin to ripen, oh my goodness, now he cannot bring a basket. He's got to bring a truck, get all that ripe fruit. So revival, you know, the community revival is that harvesting, you know, of this fire. The fire is here and there in some people already, but you know, we need a harvesting of the fire. And it's not going to happen unless God sends that revival. So that's what we need to pray. It's a call to revival. That's what generates evangelism. We talk about, you know, evangelism and soul winning. And we're going to talk about that next, in the next series after this. We can talk about it all we want. Without revival, it's not going to happen. It's not going to work in the midst of the people. And that's why these messages must be ordered like this. You know, first we understand what God is doing in our lives and what he must do, you know, and then we understand how that leads to evangelism. You know, this fire, the first of the two fires is revival. Revival fire must be rekindled in our hearts. But it's kind of like you walk both ways. Revival rekindles prayer. Fire. Prayer, you know, invites revival. Revival also, rekindles worship. Jesus said the Father is looking for worshipers. You can call that worship fire as well. Yeah, all these things are fire. Revival brings holiness fire. And lastly, revival brings evangelism fire. You know, that's where it all leads to, according to Isaiah chapter 45, verse 8, and according to Ezekiel chapter 47, all that experience that the man experienced going deeper, that's a revival, was to bring forth this river that will go everywhere and everything it touches will be healed. Multitude of fish, he said, will happen. Well, that's the impact of revival. That's it. So, you know, holiness is required, and revival will inspire and generate even more holiness. Who shall ascend? We need that holiness. And when we get there, it will produce even more holiness. You know, who shall ascend? Psalm 24, verses 3 and 4. Clean hands, pure hearts. Our lifestyles, our motives, you know, and so forth. Revival will purify those things. It's like a refiner's fire. I will purify the sons of the kingdom. So revival is a fire in itself. And people that are revived, they are on fire. Jesus was looking at the Laodicean church. He said, look, you guys are neither here nor there. I wish that you were fired up. You know, this lukewarm stuff, I don't know. He said, I'm going to spew you out of, it's distasteful. I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. The Lord wants us to be fired up. You know, that, remember, repent and return. Jesus was always saying that. Said it to the church in Philadelphia, I mean, Ephesus as well. You know, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 to 5. Remember, first love, repent and return. You know, said it to this church in Sardis that we were just reading in chapter 3. You know, strengthen the things that are ready to die. You know, so this revival will restore our love and passion for Christ. You know, and another thing that will be happening in revival is there will be a hunger for the word of God. You know, in sometimes the Bible says, Lord, there was a famine of the word of God. The true word of God was, you know, was not there. During revival, God will send, you know, the prophetic voice again, the teaching priests, they will be there again, bring the word of God. The word of God, you know, is what fuels that, you know, fire. It must be the preaching of the true word of God. You know, just like in evangelism. Evangelism is about preaching the word. Evangelism is not about signs and wonders. It's about preaching the word of God. Now, signs and wonders will follow. But the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Now, the gospel, any gospel without signs and wonders is not the real gospel. But the gospel is the pronunciation and proclamation of the good news. And what's the good news? Well, Jesus came to save sinners. Sinners must know that they need a savior. When we are in revival, we'll find that, you know, evangelism becomes easier. It's so much harder when there is no revival. You know, it's so much harder. But when there is revival happening in the church, in the hearts of the people, evangelism will flow. It'll be so much easier. Evangelism will restore revival will restore even our obedience, you know, a call, you know, to, you know, go ye out and preach the gospel, teach everybody, you know, teach all nations and teach them the word of God. These things are there. Evangelism is God reaching the lost through his people. You know, just like Isaiah 45 and 8 talks about, the salvation must be produced. It's the result of this whole thing, this revival, this heaven coming to the earth is revival. That's what it really is. Heaven meets with the earth. When heaven and earth meet, the result is righteousness and salvation. That's it. When revival meets evangelism, the result is souls will be saved. Multitude of fish. That's how Ezekiel calls it out in Ezekiel chapter 47. He said there will be a multitude of fish. Evangelism is what produces that. What fuels the real evangelism that can bring multitude of fish? That's revival. You can't do it. I mean, you might be trying so hard, but I mean, think of what happened on the day of Pentecost. Like I said before, it wasn't revival, but it depicts something. It was the birth of the church. And we need a rebirth of the church today. But the same man who was struggling to be a witness for Christ, denied Christ 3 times in one night, even before a maid. I mean, not even, you know, anybody that could do anything to him. This same man, when the Holy Ghost came, think of that, you know, in our own time too. When we receive revival, this man stood up and indicted the whole nation. You crucified the Christ. You know, the same Jesus whom you crucified. They were bold. Told it to them. And he had power. There was power in his word to convict people. Bible says they were pricked in their hearts. You know, men and brethren, what shall we do? And in one moment like that, 3,000 people were saved and baptized into the church. Revival, and people were being added to the church. And you can't do it. Otherwise, you know, you would just be struggling and struggling and struggling. You know. Now, evangelism, ladies and gentlemen, hear this right now. Evangelism is not a department within the church. Evangelism is not a program in the church. Evangelism is the heartbeat of the revived church. Not the sleeping church. The sleeping church, no. The revived church. But the church must be revived. That's why we need revival. The target really is not just for us to say we are revived. Yeah, you know, we are revived. But the ultimate end is evangelism. The goal, the target of heaven is the earth. That's what people don't realize. All of us are trying to go to heaven. Heaven itself wants to come down to the earth as the target. In fact, finally, after the holy city is ready, built, and you know, designed, architected, built, and furnished, and everything in heaven, it must come down. You know, John said, "I saw the holy city coming down out of heaven." You know, our target is always the earth. It's not heaven. You know, heaven doesn't want to stay as heaven if it cannot influence the earth. What good is it then? You know. So heaven must bring its culture to the earth. You know, that's what the colonizing kingdoms do. The kingdom must impose its culture on the colonies. That's what it's all about. Heaven must impose the culture of heaven on earth, which was its first colony. You know, that's how it is. And the process of getting the earth aligned with the culture of heaven and the agents of that alignment, that's the church. But the church is not effective and they are not revived. So the church needs that revival. You can see the connection, you know. So now, evangelism is the heartbeat of a revived church. That's it. You know, and it is the Great Commission also. People talk about the Great Commission, Matthew 28, 19 and 20. And they are right. It was the Great Commission. Jesus said, "Go ye, you know, to all the world and teach all nations," and so forth. That's evangelism, you know. And as souls are being saved, they'll be baptized also. That's part of evangelism. You know, these things will be happening, you know. Now, in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 14, Jesus made a powerful pronunciation. He said, "This gospel of the kingdom." Now, that's the gospel of the kingdom, not the gospel of prosperity. You know, not the gospel of any kind of thing that the church wants to preach. No, the gospel of the kingdom, that's the message of evangelism. The gospel of the kingdom, which Paul said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ." Romans 1 and 16 is the power of God to salvation. Now, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. So evangelism is what is going to bring the end. You want Jesus to come? No, he's not coming until this gospel of the kingdom is preached everywhere. And that's a gospel, not something that somebody wants to preach. No, the gospel of the kingdom, like it was preached in the early church, must be preached again at the end. The reason Jesus hasn't come is because the real gospel of the kingdom is not being preached. And people don't even understand what kingdom concepts. So we must preach the gospel of the kingdom in order for the end to happen. It's not going to happen unless we're preaching the gospel of the kingdom. So to hasten the coming of the Lord, let's make sure we are revived and get out there and begin to evangelize. Praise the Lord. I will release in the future a message called Mobilize to Evangelize. this mobilization is through revival. People have tried to do it without revival and it doesn't work. You can come out and encourage your local congregation for them to go out and engage in soul winning and so forth. They won't do it because they are not revived. They are a sleeping church, sometimes even dead, but sleeping at best. worst case, they are dead. They can't do it. Got to be revived. And that's the reason why it's not happening. When there's revival, you won't need to tell anybody that they need to go out witnessing. You won't need to do it. If you have to constantly be reminding the church that we need to go out witnessing, that means we need revival. That's a sign that church needs revival. When there's revival, nobody is telling anybody to go and witness. It's just the heartbeat of a revived church. They will be doing it. And it's not just witnessing. They will be winning souls. Power of God will be following. It's not going to be this, walk and win no soul thing. No. Jesus said, look, this is the Father's will. I've ordained you. In John chapter 15, verse 16, said, you didn't call me. I called you. You didn't choose me. I chose you. I ordained you to bring forth fruit, much fruit, and that your fruit should remain. Herein is my Father glorified. And that's evangelism. It's not just, onesies, twosies here and there. No. Evangelism is sweeping. It will sweep a more multitude of fish. Now, we start with soul winning, that's for sure. We can win thousands. We can also win an individual. And Jesus won thousands, preached to thousands, but also preached to one person, the woman at the well. But the power of evangelism, we need real, when you see the real evangelist, which is the revived church, they have power that follows them to bring in a multitude of fish. that's it. And that's what we're going to be talking about here in these lessons. Evangelism is not for special people. You see, some people say, oh, I'm a prayer warrior. What is that? Everybody is a prayer warrior. Some people say, oh, I'm a soul winner. What is that? Everybody should be that. These things are so in a revived church. In a revived church, every one of them is a prayer warrior. In a revived church, every one of them is an evangelist. Everyone. Because that's the impact of revival. it's not a ministry. It's a mission. That's it. Ministry is, for certain persons. Mission is for everybody. Evangelism is a mission. Right now it's mission impossible because we don't have revival. Like mission impossible. But, when revival comes, you'll find out that it's a mission for everybody. Everybody. They went everywhere preaching the gospel and God confirming their word with signs following. Every one of them. They just went everywhere. You know, whether you are a deacon supposed to serve widows or not, you know, that's a revived church. you still go out when you're done doing that thing and that he asks you to do, which is fine. You do it joyfully and you go out and engage. You know, and you bring souls, turn a whole city to Christ. People come with curious hearts, lay them down, burn their, you know, charms and talisman and all these things. Give their life to Christ. Mass, you know, in masses, impact of revival. That's what he does. You have a passion for souls, then you need to be praying for revival. You may be a voice, you know, crying in the wilderness right now. You know, because nobody else is joining you because the church is not revived. That's why, you know. So when we are all revived, everybody will be an evangelist. Everybody, automatically. It's not going to be a ministry. We all have the mission to do it. And that's where it'll be. Now, evangelism, though, is not about opinions. You know, when evangelism kicks in, it's not about sharing opinion. It's about proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, which is Christ. Yeah, Christ is that gospel. You know, you can't preach anything but Christ. You know, and evangelism is not about arguing or debating. It is we're announcing the good news. And the Lord loves, you know, those who are doing it. He said, how beautiful are the feet of them that proclaim this good news. Now, evangelism is not about philosophy. No, it is the gospel. And I say the. Emphasis is on the gospel. It's not a gospel. No, it is the gospel. That's what evangelism does. Brings, you know, the gospel. Now, when you find out that you launched out, you mobilized, and you are evangelizing, and then fear creeps in, well, then you need to be revived again. Revival is not a one-time thing, ladies and gentlemen. You know, even in the Acts of the Apostles, the birth of the church was in chapter 2. Revival was in chapter 4. You know, by chapter 4, when they were threatened, they were already losing some momentum. So they came back and they prayed again like they did that first time. The place was shaking again. Holy Ghost came down again. They were all filled again. They spoke the word of God with boldness again. Acts chapter 4, verse 31. Now, this boldness that we're talking about is not arrogance. That's not what we're talking about. It's confidence in Christ. I know who I have believed. I know my Redeemer liveth. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's confidence, not arrogance. It's boldness. You know, and it's not about making noise. It's quiet conviction. But yet, it's sustained confidence. Look, that's what boldness is. You know, confident. And some people think that, well, I'm shy. It's not, boldness is not my personality. When revival comes, personality goes away. Boldness is Holy Ghost power. Jesus said, you receive power. Peter received power, became bold. It wasn't his personality. Perhaps his personality was to deny Christ and so on. You know, no. Holy Ghost power to produce, you know, that boldness. Now, evangelism is produces a harvesting of souls. You know, but it was fueled by revival. In Acts chapter 2, verse 47, we're told that the Lord added to the church daily. It's not, you know, well, it's not on Saturdays only. It's daily. Daily, such as should be saved. Well, so we'll take Saturday because that's good. That's better than nothing. We'll take the few that are there, you know, We have a handful of people that are doing it. We'll take that anytime, any day, even twice or Saturdays. We'll take it. But when the church is revived, it'll be everybody. So I'm praying for revival. It'll be everybody. And you won't need to organize, you know, a soul winners action team. You're not going to need to organize a team that's... No, everybody is out there in the marketplace doing it. Because they are a revived church. And that's the difference. You know, evangelism, I mean, revival starts in the church. Evangelism takes the power of God to the streets. That's the difference. You know, so I'm laying these two fires side by side now. These are two fires in the church that the church needs. The fire of revival and the fire of evangelism. Powerful. I'm going to tell you what happens when these two fires collide in a minute. But let me tell you some more about the parallels between these two, or, you know, the differences. Revival is internal for the church. It's not the world that's being revived. Jesus said the Holy Spirit, when it comes, whom the world cannot receive. It's not for the world. It's for the church. The church is the one that needs the Holy Ghost, not the world. No. The world has to come into the church. The people in the world, that is, not the world system. The people in the world have to come into the church. When they are, you know, when they're opening up their hearts, the Holy Ghost will baptize them into the body of Christ. Now they're in the church. They will receive the infilling of the Holy Spirit as a member of the body of Christ, not in the world. No. It can happen all at once. They can be saved the same day, receive the Holy Ghost, do all these things, but, you know, they are receiving the Holy Ghost as a member of the body of Christ. You know, not as the world. But Jesus said, Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. So revival is for the church. Evangelism is the outreach to the world. Revival is what transforms the church into an agency of evangelism. That's it. But we can't do it if we are not revived. We will be preaching until our mouths are dry, trying to get people to do it. And they won't do it. And come back next week, tell them again, they still won't do it. But when we are revived, we will all be doing it. So what we really need is revival. Revival is what restores the first fire in the church, which is, you know, Holy Ghost fire. He said, John the Baptist said in, you know, Matthew 3 and 11 and so on, he said, look, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance and so on. You know, but there is one that is coming after me, whose shoes I'm not even worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. Gotta have that fire. You know, so whose hand fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor. That's right. The purging is going on now. You know, so that's revival for you. It's Holy Ghost invading the church. That's revival. Evangelism is the church invading the world. The power of God through the church reaching to an unsaved world is evangelism. But first, Holy Ghost invades the church through revival. As we can begin to see the difference. Revival restores something to the church that we once had, that fire and that joy and that excitement and so forth, which we now lost. Well, evangelism, once we are restored, will, you know, bring deliverance to the world. You know, rescue sinners from spiritual death. You know, whereas revival restores something good in us. Well, when we are out mobilizing for evangelism, we are rescuing sinners from spiritual death. You know, here's another parallel or comparison. Revival prepares that church for evangelism.
See the difference? You know, revival prepares. Evangelism is sending the church out. Go ye. Therefore, you know, it's not, you know. But first, before you go, you must tarry ye. Yeah, Jesus laid it out. That's the pattern. Tarry ye in Jerusalem. Luke 24 and 49. Until you be endued with this revival power. So we must tarry. You know, must tarry. Revival is God moving in us. Evangelism is God moving through us. Revival is God awakening something in the church. Awake the spiritual giant. Evangelism is activation of the power of God out in the marketplace. You know. So, remember, when we did the power series, the R was releasing your faith. Well, you know, that's where we see that. You want the sick and stuff to be healed and sinners to be saved. We're not going to sit around in church waiting for them to come. Go out there to the marketplace and do it. You know. Now, revival that does not lead to evangelism or does not produce evangelism becomes very quickly self-focused. You know. If a revived church, the church say, oh, we are revived, and they are not engaging in evangelism, you know, what is going to happen is storytelling of past experiences. We told some stories here, but, you know, it was to inspire something in us. If we're not revived, that's all we have is the storytelling. You know, what do you do when you go to a museum? Well, you see artifacts of things. A church that is revived that didn't produce evangelism, pretty soon all they will be telling is stories of the past. You know, so we need action. You know, now, evangelism, on the other hand, though, without revival is powerless. If you try to do evangelism without revival, you can't do anything. You can't accomplish anything. You know, a church that is trying to evangelize without first being revived, they will become, just mechanical. Just go through the motions. Yeah, I got to go out there and I got to preach. You know, I got to do this, I got to do that. Well, yeah, Paul said, woe unto me if I don't preach the gospel. But Paul was revived, or preaching with fire. If you're not revived, you'll just be doing it through the motions. Becomes dry and it becomes ineffective. Produce nothing. You know. So. But. You know. We must be willing. Some people say it's easier to steer a moving vehicle than a one that's stationary. Well. Revival is what creates that movement. In your soul. Otherwise you are dead. We're dead. We're not doing anything. But when revival comes, it begins to move. As a movement in the soul, then it is easier, the Holy Spirit, to steer them in the right direction. You know, so that's how revival and evangelism, you know, you might say, one scripture says, righteousness, you know, and peace have kissed each other. Well, when revival meets evangelism, the church becomes unstoppable. glory to God. You can't do it. You know, the Bible even say, look, people were afraid in the early church. No one dared to join themselves to them anyhow. Because power! God, you couldn't stop the church. Couldn't lie to the Holy Ghost either. Couldn't do it. You know, and, you know, revival has now met, you know, mercy and truth, righteousness and peace, you know, and all these things. Revival and evangelism have now met and kissed each other. What is the result? A harvesting of souls, you know, and the perfecting of the saints. The revival is for the perfecting of the saints. It will produce evangelism, which is bringing a harvesting of souls. You know, what started in the upper room must not end and remain in the upper room, or be taken to the streets. Glory to God. You know, when that fire that fell on the day of Pentecost, why did God show those glowing tongues of fire? Because he was depicting what we're talking about now. You got to be fired up. John the Baptist saw it and he said it. Baptize you with Holy Ghost and with fire. Not just Holy Ghost. You got to have that fire. Holy Ghost will bring you to a place of holiness. And fire is what motivates you to true worship and all these other things and evangelism and so on. You got to have both. No. So here's the sequence. From top to bottom. Heaven says it's time. And that's God. Then the church begins to pray. You know, begin to repent, begin to do these things that we talked about. And then heaven responds again, you know, pours out the Holy Spirit afresh. And the church prays some more, you know, then preach. First the church prays, then preach. That's it. You can't do it, you know, any other way. You know, if we're trying to preach to people without praying, you will just be doing it mechanically. You know, you will find out that the results are harder. In the book of Acts, chapter 26, verses 18, Paul is describing the process that Jesus told him how to get people saved. You know, he said, look, open their eyes. How are you going to open their eyes? How can you open the eyes of somebody you are preaching to? That's prayer. Prayer must be one that will do that. Turn them from darkness to light. How are you going to do that? You can't do it. Holy Ghost one are going to do it. All you have to do is proclaim the gospel. But prayer is what's going to make that happen. When you are praying, see, spiritually, remember, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Praying, fighting the spiritual battle even before you go out to preach. You know, that's a revived church. They spend time praying before they preach. Praying. You know, that revival is the one that springs forth or fuels evangelism. On the other hand, evangelism that's producing a harvest of souls is the proof that there is revival. Now, I hope you are getting how we are laying it out. Revival is what's fueling evangelism. Evangelism is the proof that we have revival. That's it. When everybody becomes an evangelist. You know, not because it's a ministry, but because it's a mission. Praise God. Now, let's read some of the words of our Lord Jesus Christ in the book of John, chapter 15. He said, look, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. God doesn't have it's time for, branches that are not producing. But if the branch is producing, then he's going to purge it. Now, purging is happening now. Purging is the call to repentance. You know, turn from their wicked ways, calling them and so forth. You know, the dead branch is not going to turn. Because it just, rather the unfruitful branch. God will just cast them away, you know. Because they refuse to turn. But if they turn, God will revive. You know? Now, God will purge the bearing branch, the fruit-bearing branch, so that it may bring forth even more fruit. You know? And Jesus said, I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Jesus is always interested in much fruit, not just little fruit, but much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Listen to this. In verse 7, if you abide in me, my words abide in you, you shall ask whatever you will, it be done to you. Ask for this revival. Herein is my Father glorified, verse 8, in that ye bear much fruit. Now that's evangelism. Evangelism is what produces that. So shall you be my disciples. You're the real disciples of Christ now. that's the proof. Evangelism, a harvesting of souls, multitude of fish, the river touching, anything it touches is healed. In Ezekiel 47, that's the proof that there was revival. The proof that Ezekiel, being through those series, the depths of from his heels to his ankles, to his knees, to his loins, to his shoulders, to his head, and all of that, the proof of it was a multitude of fish and the healing, and the trees of life that suddenly appeared on either side of that river. That's the proof that he went through a process of revival. The proof is, that's what you see. Is the result is a production of souls. Glory to God. Now, revival will produce sons of God. I call those ministry gifts, factory workers. And they're the ones that are working in the factory to produce those cars that you like. But it is the car that you see. You don't see the factory worker. So that's the same way. But today, we're putting those factory workers out in front. The prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, the apostle. We're out there parading ourselves as if we're anything. No, we're just factory workers. What people want to see is the finished product. Praise God. So the world is not waiting for any of these things. We have a lot of them. We have a lot of pastors. We have a lot of apostles, prophets, and so on. What the world is waiting for, sons of God. Revival is what's going to produce that. So when that is produced, though, the people so produced will go out and evangelize the world. That's it. In the book of Psalms, we read that, he that goeth forth bearing precious seed, weeping and so forth. Well, that's revival. Psalm 126, it says, they that sow in tears. Well, first he said, Lord, turn our captivity, O Lord. Well, that's revival. As the streams in the south, they that sow in tears. Well, that's revival. Revival prayer. You're praying. You're weeping, rending your hearts, not just your garments. Well, that's a promise of reaping in joy. And then what it's going to eventually lead to a harvesting of souls. Go forth and weep, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again, bringing in the sheaves. That's multitude of fish. That's revival. The revival produces, evangelism produces salvation. Souls. The Spirit, the church prays, then we preach. The Spirit fills us, then he sends. Praise God. Acts chapter 1 say, power to become witnesses. In Acts chapter 13, Holy Ghost fill the people and then separate unto me, Paul and Silas. For the walk, that I have unto them. Holy Ghost, fill them first. Then separate unto them. I think it was Paul and Barnabas, rather. Separate unto me, Paul and Barnabas, for the work I had for them. But first, Holy Ghost, fill them. Then he sent them. The pattern that we saw in the Pentecost was they waited. Jesus said, Luke 24, 49, tarry ye. So they waited. They prayed together. They waited together. They prayed together. They were filled. Then they preached. Souls were saved and the church multiplied. That's a pattern that we saw in the early church. They waited. They prayed. They did these things together in unity. Holy Ghost fell. They were filled. Then they preached. Then souls were saved and baptized. And the church was multiplied. This is the divine order. And that's how it works. And even today, that's the way it must be. Revival in the church. Evangelism in the streets. Glory to God. So there's a prayer for revival. We're going to be praying about over the next few weeks by the grace of God. I'm going to be on this series. But the Lord said, it's time. I'll be hammering on it. And what I say to one, I say to all, saith the Lord, even to the speaker. Well, I myself, I must be first partaker of these things. Ezra said in Ezra chapter 7 verse 10 that he prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it. You know, even as he was, preparing to teach the people first, he's doing the same thing. Well, I'm praying for revival in my heart. My heart be fired up. Praise God. There's a call for revival and repentance. It will lead to a commitment to evangelism. Yeah, you don't need to persuade anybody for evangelism when they are revived. When the body of Christ, the church is revived to produce automatic evangelism, they will be mobilized to evangelize. Yeah, they'll be able to share Christ boldly, full of compassion and so forth. They're not sharing Christ to tell the people they are going to hell. No, they are telling the people to come to Christ. They are bringing in the sheaves and not casting out them. No. Real evangelism produces fishes for the kingdom. We're not out there to tell them that they are going to hell. We're out there to bring them in. Glory to God. Now, the church must receive revival in order to mobilize, to evangelize. What we must expect when we have real revival is we expect, an outburst of evangelism. Souls being saved. Families are being changed. Communities are being transformed. This is what revival, the start of revival, sparks. Yeah. And then the communities spread. We're expecting a harvesting of souls. He said he shall come back bringing in his sheaves. That's when revival meets evangelism. The call today is, Lord, revive us and send us. Isaiah, the Lord said after that experience he had in chapter 6, he said, who will go for us? that's the call. That's the call comes after revival, though. Isaiah could not answer that call at first. First, he had to take care of his lips. And God had to take care of that. That's revival. That's the evidence. That's the process. The glory of God is revealed. Holy, holy, holy. We see ourselves as, as nothing, as worthless. We repent. We turn to God. We cry out to God, Lord, take care of this, my unclean lips, or whatever else is in our life that Holy Spirit will reveal. Holy Spirit takes care of it. Then we receive the call that was always there. That call is activated. It was always there. The Holy Spirit will now repeat it. Then you say, Lord, yeah, I'm ready. I'm ready now. Praise God. God is waiting for us to respond. Little boy Samuel, when God was calling him, God had to wait for him to respond. He didn't know how to respond, ran all over the place. Eli finally sent him back, said, no, now I know it's God calling you. Don't come to me next time. It's what you do. Say when he calls you next time, Lord, speak, your servant is listening. What will you have me do? That's right. Heaven is waiting for that. Glory to God. Are there people in here today that will respond to the call for revival? First, to the church, who must be revived. And if there's anybody that's unsaved, you must come into the body of Christ. To the sinner, You cannot be saved if you don't recognize that you're a sinner. You know, that's what Jesus said. He said, I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners. You know, the Son of Man came not to condemn, but to save, to seek that which was lost and to save. So first, a person must recognize they need sinner. I mean, a sinner, they need a savior. Their church must also recognize that they are sleeping, perhaps even dead, and they need to awake to righteousness. Come out of slumber and arise from the dead. When we recognize that and return unto our first love and return unto God, then something begins to happen. Heaven is now meeting earth. You know, heaven has its own purpose too, has its own agenda. Heaven's agenda is to cultivate, you know, the culture of heaven in earth. You know, bring forth, and he's looking for this agency that he will use called the church. That's the agenda of heaven. Yeah, you know, the church, on the other hand, we don't really understand what we should be doing. We're trying to get out of the world to go to heaven. No. Jesus prayed his prayer in John chapter 17. He said, Father, take them not from the world. That's right. Everybody should read that statement in Jesus again. John chapter 17 and verse 15. Father, I pray not that you should take them out of the world. Why? Why didn't Jesus pray that we should be taken out of the world? Why did he actually pray that the Father should not take us out of the world? That's a reason. You know, the church must fulfill the mission. Being saved is not to be saved and go to heaven. No. Everyone, you know, as is, there's a time for everything, you know. But right now, the call is for revival. And then, it's not we're revived in order for us to go to heaven. No. We are revived in order for us to bring in everlasting righteousness, to bring in salvation upon the earth. Now, Jesus is going to do this divine evacuation at one time. We take the church out. We know that, you know, but it's just when he's trying to pour out a cleansing and a judgment and wrath. When he's done with all of that, he must come back. He's got to come back, you know, with the saints back to the earth, because the target is the earth. It's not heaven. Heaven is already fixed. They say they, you know, forever, O Lord, thy word is already settled in heaven. So that's not the target. Target is the earth. The word must be settled upon the earth as well. Now, the word is Christ. He must come back and settle upon the earth. And I will set, he said, upon the throne of David. Now, that's not in heaven. That's upon the earth. You know, so all these things, this is the gospel of the kingdom that we must understand. You know, our purpose in revival is not for us to just be revived and then go to heaven. There's a gap that is missing in that. You know, the purpose of the church is to be revived and then evangelize. Yeah, that's right. You know, because this gospel of the kingdom must first be preached before you go to heaven. Before the end will come, you know, praise God. Individuals may go to heaven at different times, but for the church as a whole, for the Christ to come and evacuate them, no, not yet. They've got to finish this work. When they finish it, Jesus has done his part, you know, but the church is the bride meat. You know, the church must help complete the work, you know. Yeah, he's done his part. He said in John 19:30, it is finished. Well, it's not finished for the church yet. It was finished only for Christ. You know, the church must do its part. Just like the Eve was supposed to help Adam complete his job. Well, this last Adam needs a last Eve also. We'll help him complete his job. Praise God. And in order for them to do it, they must be revived. That's our lesson today. I'm going to pray, and I'm calling a prayer. I'm calling for a prayer of, you know, a call to revival. We've been talking about it, and we will be praying about it. It's not a one-time prayer. You know, we'll be praying about it. Lord, revive us again. Will thou not revive us, O God, that thy people may rejoice rejoice in thee? Well, Psalm 85, verse 6. Will thou not revive us, O Lord, again? Yeah? Revive us, O Lord. Revive thy work also, O Lord, Habakkuk said. And this Habakkuk, he saw visions of God's glory filling the earth as the waters cover the sea. But his prayer was, Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. O Lord, I have heard thy speech and I was afraid. Habakkuk 3 and 2. Revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known. Right now. We're in the midst of the years right now. Lord, revive thy work. So that's going to be our prayer. I'm going to pray over to end the lesson, and then we're going to go into prayer together. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. The Spirit has spoken. Say, the Lord has spoken. Amos 3 and 7. Who can but prophesy? The lion has roared. Who can but fear? Huh? Well, Lord, Bible say the Lord, he gave the word. And great are the company that are publishing it. The Lord has given the word now, and we are publishing it. To God be the glory. God, blessed are the publishers of peace also. To God be the glory. Psalm 68 and verse 11 says, when the Lord gives the word, as he gave this morning, we got to publish it. You know, as we are being revived, publish the same thing in your local churches, your local, you know, fire must spread. Call for revival. Pray for revival. Father, we're praying for revival on here this morning. Revive us, O Lord, that thy people may rejoice in thee. Send down revival, Lord. Ask for me of rain in time of the latter rain. The Lord will make bright clouds. Give rain to everyone grass, no one left behind. When the church is revived, Lord, we understand that evangelism will be an order of the day. To God be the glory. Revive us again, O Lord. Help us, O Lord. You said strengthen the things, you know, that are still remaining, but are ready to die. Ah, Lord, let not our fire die out. You know, find that flame again, O Lord. Ignite the flame. Rekindle the fire in us in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.